It is God's will that we experience all the fullness of Christ. It's God's will that we as His church would know what is the fullness of God in our life, and as we share that life in Christ together. Now, we all know that God is Savior, sent Christ to die for our sins. How many here never heard the gospel? You've never heard the gospel. How many of here have heard the gospel over 150 times? You've heard the gospel more than 150 times. See, you've heard the gospel, right? So my purpose is not to come up here and share something new. Nothing new. So we know these things. So in that sense, and I'm making an appeal to your conscience, to what you know is true. You know the gospel's true. What do we do with that gospel? Well, we come into the fullness of the presence of God. We come into the Holy of Holies. How do we access that in our life? And Paul says, for this reason I pray. Because we have access to God. And Paul labors in his epistles to remind us and teach us and show us how God saves sinners. And how God saves sinners by grace. For by grace you've been saved. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2, 8. So we know that this salvation is something that God gives. We know it's based on what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ, the gospel. We know that every spiritual blessing has been given to us in the heavenly places. We know these things. We know that God plays a unique role in this salvation as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's been revealed in Scripture. The Father chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Christ accepts us, makes us acceptable before God. The Spirit takes that gospel and seals us. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We know these things. We've been convicted of these things. We've been reminded of these things, that we were once lost. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. But He made us alive together in Him. Ephesians chapter 2. And that was based on the resurrection of Christ. Together with Christ. Having come up from the grave, we rise with Christ. And in this, we find, by faith, we're born again. I've really enjoyed preaching through Ephesians. Tonight, I want to direct our attention back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, if you want to turn there. It's God's will to bless His church with the fullness of His presence. How do we access that presence? By prayer. We access that presence by prayer. and everything else Paul wrote by faith and by prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And he's praying that God would do something. See the word? Grant. That he would grant you. That God would grant you. Paul praying for the church. For this reason, I pray for the church. And I pray that God would grant to you his church something that only God can give to you through prayer. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. This is all to the praise of his glory. This is according to his strength. It's not in me to give to you. I can't give this to you. We can't give this to each other. God gives it to us, and we all share it. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So now we're talking humility. We're talking humbling ourselves to glorify him. And that he would grant you to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. So that we would be strengthened through Christ in his word, through his word by his Spirit in our inner thinking. In our inner processing. It's kind of where prayer resides, isn't it? It resides in the inner man, a praying spirit. And we pray that God would grant that to us, and that strength has a specific focus, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that Christ would dwell in your hearts. He's writing this to believers that are born again. The church is the dwelling place of God. He's praying that that gift of God that's given in salvation, it's not what my hands have done, would be strengthened in your hearts. And that your faith would move you to God as a conduit, as a means to communicate, as a channel to move you to a greater experience with God. That's what faith does. And that's what we're asking God for. We're asking God to grant that we would have a greater faith in Christ that would root us and ground us in his unfailing, unending, unfathomable love. That he loves you. That he is there for you. That his ear is open to your prayer. That he is granting this amazing awareness and experience, faith in the fullness of who God is. That we would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. The love of God in Christ, the love of God in salvation, the love of God in sustaining us, God's gracious love that he has for you, for his church, for here, you church, and around the world, his bride. There's a hinge point, though. For this reason, I bow my knees and pray that God would grant this to you, his church, so that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints this life in Christ. So it's a very narrow focus with a narrow specific prayer and a broad application that together with all of you, you would know the height and the depth and the breadth to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. What a great time to experience that here at family camp. When we get to fellowship and we get to encourage one another and we get to sing and we get to pray and we get to laugh and we get to have fun. And we get to see you guys do all kind of crazy and funny things and interesting things and enjoy each other. And truly, the love of God is here. Truly, the love of Christ is among us. That's what binds our hearts together. It's the love of Christ. Truly, it's a wonderful blessing to be part of Christ's church where the love of Christ is celebrated, walked out, there's patience and kindness among his people. Amen and amen. Paul is praying that we would experience all of that fullness in Christ. So is there room to grow? Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to know the fullness of Christ with you. Would you pray to that end? I want to know the fullness of Christ with you. And you get to know the fullness of Christ with you. And you get to know the fullness of Christ with you. So Paul is praying that the church would have this contagious overflow of love, the fullness of Christ, poured out through the Holy Spirit into your hearts, received by faith, that would swell up so that together with all of the saints, we would all together experience this fullness of God as we let go of our own identity, as we let go of our sin, as we let go of defining ourselves by ourselves, and we define ourselves as God sees us. We define ourselves in Christ. We define ourselves as saved, as redeemed, as justified, as loved, as children of God. And as we walk in that love, we will know all of the dimensions of the love of God. What do you think it means, all of the dimensions? It's comprehensive, isn't it? It means when you're on the field playing, means when you're doing your schoolwork, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're in the cafeteria, when you're walking by, it's to know the height and the depth and the breadth, to know the love of Christ that passes even our knowledge, our ability to understand that. It goes beyond that because God is beyond us. It means we're tapped into the love of God, the transcendent person of God, and his fullness is illuminating, inspiring, causing, correcting all that we say and all that we do. Paul beautifully matches powerful doctrine with powerful prayer. Why do you think he does that? It's not because he was misled. Why do you think he does that? Rob? Because that's what we need. We need the powerful doctrine. We need the truth. And we need prayer. What good is truth without prayer? You're not going to get it. Try praying without truth. What are you going to pray for? Yourself. But you put these two together. Paul's saying, I've just presented some of the most amazing truth ever revealed. Now you need to pray about it. And that's where we need to pray about it. That's where we need to pray about it. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom we all came from. We all owe our very life to this God. And He is the one who could grant this to happen. Amen? Would you pray to that end? This list of requests that Paul gives, they build towards the final request, which is verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That God would grant you to be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that God would grant you to be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that God would give you the faith to be strengthened in your inner man. And when you're strengthened by faith in your inner man, you know the love of Christ in your heart. And when you know the love of Christ in your heart, in the inner man, who can take that away from you? It becomes who you are then. No one can take that away from you. And you don't give access to any, you don't give your inner heart, you don't give access to your inner heart to anyone but God. He's the one, He is the only one who goes to the inner heart and changes you. That's God only. It's either you got God in there or you got idols. Right? Kick the idols out. Kick God in. Right? God defines you in the inner man by faith, strengthened in your inner man, your inner person, that you don't give access to that to anyone but God. And meaning this, you only listen to God. When God says to you, I have you. I've saved you by my grace. I love you. I've sent Christ to die for you. I've chosen you. I'm doing this work in you. You are His. Church, you're His. We're His. He is the rightful owner. He is the Lord. He is the Master. Now we need to be strengthened there because the world, the flesh, the devil says, you're no good. You're not good enough. You don't do enough. You're not that great. You're really ugly. You're really stupid. Da 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 da, right? Slander and problems and rah. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to believe the lies of the enemy and be deflated and be full of ourselves instead of the fullness of God. That can happen to us, it can happen to a church, it can happen to anyone, it can happen to a nation. God, keep us from being full of ourselves. We want to be full of God, not full of ourselves. We're vessels. I'm a vessel. You're a vessel. What's in the vessel? Let's pray that God would grant that our vessel will be filled up with the fullness of God. And the overflow of that would be just the fullness of God everywhere. In our relationships, in our love. Would you pray that God would grant that? Again, it's not in you, it's not in me to grant this. It's in God to grant this. We are called to pray this prayer so that we would be filled with the fullness of God, so that our nation would be filled with the fullness of God, so that the church would be full of the fullness of God. God in all of His dimensions, in all of His glory. Remember, the purpose of the church is to be what? A dwelling place for God. It replaces the temple. Ephesians 2 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God is building you, his temple, to be a dwelling place for God. For this reason, Paul says, for this reason, please pray that God would grant his presence among his people, and that we would be strengthened in that presence in our inner man, so that we would be rooted in the love of God and displace the love of self. The love of Christ would be our passion, our belief. And that belief would be shared, Christ among you. Our koinonia would be in Christ. And then from Christ, we would experience all the dimensions of his love. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Pray that God would do this. God has done this. God is doing this. Not without answer to prayer. I see the answers to prayer. People just don't get together and love each other without God doing something. They wall off, they get offended, and they just, right? You need to build your life on Christ. The whole purpose of the church is to be built on Christ. So we get to experience this love and experience it together. And as that happens, we give glory to God, don't we? He is the one who does this. His glory, his church, his power. Multi-generationally worked out. My question for you is, will you pray that God would grant this to us? And in praying that God would grant this to us, it assumes that you would pray, would you be willing to pray that God would grant this to you? And when you ask that God would grant this to you, it also assumes that you are willing to be defined by God alone, the gospel of Jesus Christ in your inner man, in your inner woman, in your inner person. And that you would not give access to that inner heart to anybody but God. And that you would keep that which God has given you in the gospel. That you would hang on to it and allow the God's Spirit to move in your heart to refresh you and to teach you his love. You know, it's easy to be distracted from that. Maybe there's some here who say, you know what? I have known the love of God in my life, but right now I'm just a little bit edgy with that. I'm just a little bit alienated from that. My heart might be a little cold. Maybe you've not been born again. Maybe you need to come to Christ for the first time. Maybe you need to know that love and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. What is it that keeps you from praying? For most people, they're just full of themselves. And they're not full of God. So they don't pray. If you show me a person who's full of themselves, you're not going to pray. You show me a person who's praying, they're emptying themselves of themselves. They're humbling themselves so that they understand the need to pray. And that's where faith comes in, doesn't it? That's what faith does. That's the role of faith. Because when you believe this about God, you have to pray. Like, you have to pray. You've got to pray. Because God is your Father. And when you have God as your Father, You have to pray to God, your Father. Like, He's your Father. You have this awesome relationship with Him. And when God fills your heart with His love, you have to pray. Because you want to know His love more and more and more. Amen? God has great things for us. He's got a lot of work for us to do. It's all dependent upon Him. It's all dependent upon us receiving His love by grace into our hearts so we can walk out this love in our homes, in the communities, in the mission work that He's called us to. I mean, I already see Christ in you. Christ is not yet perfected in us. So we're praying that fullness of God, as Paul taught us to pray, that we would partake of. My question for you tonight is, will you pray?